This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by Go Engineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit theuavdigest.com/goengineer. And by UAV Propulsion Tech, a provider of propulsion, servo, autopilots, and rescue and recovery parachute solutions for the unmanned aerial vehicle market. For more information, check out www.uavpropulsiontech.com. You're listening to episode 166 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof, blind in Pennsylvania. As a running joke, folks, I just picked up my new progressive lenses, so I'm going to be out of focus this evening. But we've got a great show. Max, we have a returning guest, don't we?
Yes, we do. Parker Jokers is back with us. He's the owner of Propeller Heads. Parker, thanks for coming back on the show. We've understood that you've had some experience with the new DJI Mavic quadcopter.
Yes. DJI gave... Hi, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me back. I really appreciate it. DJI gave me a loaner of the Mavic Pro for a week, so that I could take it to the Eddie Adams Workshop, which is a photojournalism focused mostly on combat photojournalism workshop that's in upstate New York up here. And I had never flown a Phantom 4, and this will come into play a little later, but dove into this thing, got the firmware updated. It updates the firmware through the phone now. You don't have to do a firmware party with SD cards anymore, which was always a bane of our existence. Little things like that all throughout. Folds open rear legs first to get them away from the front legs, and then they open up, hit the power button, and about 20 seconds later, it's ready to fly. Comes with a specialized controller that is going to feel familiar to DJI pilots. It's got the same switchology with the exception of a mode switch, which doesn't exist. It's got a speed button on the side, a sport button on the side. Not having ever flown a Phantom 4, I'm told they fly very similar. It flies very much like you are controlling a very smart object that is trying very hard to keep you from being stupid. You can put it into sport mode and hoon a little more, but when you kick that thing out full speed and it's doing 40 miles an hour and you let go of the stick, it pitches back almost 40 degrees and does a slide to a stop, and it doesn't lose a centimeter of height. To do that manually, it's taken me years, and I still can't do it perfectly. So I hate it. it's smarter than I am, and I hate it. But it was a very intelligent piece of kit. The software allows you to touch yourself on you put it in gesture or active track, and you can touch an object on the screen, be it a dog or a person or a car. It recognizes if it's a dog, a person, or a car. Apparently, I look like a dog when I'm slouching. So that was the running joke of the week. But then you can walk away from the crowd and it'll follow you out of the crowd. And it'll follow you down the street and follow you through another crowd. It'll actually track the color of your clothing and the shape of your body and the way you move. And it'll actually learn what you look like and track you through other people, which is kind of uncanny when you look over your shoulder and there's this, you know, what looks like a military grade hunter killer tracking you through a crowd.
It's amazing technology.
It's incredible. It also has the ability to control with hand gestures. So you put it into gesture mode and you wave your arms at it and it starts to blink in a certain pattern. And then you hold your fingers in front of your face like a director and like framing a shot, like an old timey director. And it sees that and it automatically takes a selfie. So it's kind of sorcery. It's a trick, but there's opportunities to use that when you have your phone in your pocket, because this drone, will work without a transmitter. You can use it with just your phone, and then you turn the phone off and it'll follow you
right
up the hill with terrain following. So it's incredibly smart. So while I was at the Ed Adams workshop, someone let me fly their Phantom 4. So I had the ability to control the two of them. The interface is identical. So DJI Go, the new Go app has changed a little bit of fonts, and they've borked a couple features that they're working on, but the new Go app is across all platforms, from the Matrice to the Inspire to the Phantoms to the Mavic. So you can pick it up and you're in the same office no matter where you are.
That's a smart move, yeah, on DJI's part, yeah.
Now if we can only get Microsoft to learn that technique.
it's honed from years of basically human interface design where they realize exactly what you need on a controller and they put it there and they don't surround you with extraneous information. The transmitter itself has got a data display in the center of it now, which gives you all of the flight parameters, regardless of if you have a phone or not. And it's brilliant. It tells you the distance to objects, the height above the ground, the mode it's in, the satellite strength. It even gives you RPM on your motors, which is something we really don't need in drones, but I think it's cool that they've provided it. The drone knows if there's a propeller on it or not. It'll actually shut down if it tries a spin up at the beginning of the start sequence, and it'll say, missing or loose propeller, check your props, which is sorcery, but very important if you've got a loose prop before you take off. The props are such that they go on only one way and only one direction, and they will not sit on the motor until they're locked. There's a spring in them, so they won't even stay on the motor if you don't have them properly secured to the motor. So no chance of them coming off. They automatically unfold when you start the drone, so you don't have to worry about reaching into the blades. You just flip the arms open, and it's ready to go.
On the arms opening up, Parker, what's the build quality like?
They're metal and amazing. They're very firm, very stiff. The hinges are real high quality. They've got a little bit of a spring detent in both the closed and open position. And they triple the size of the drone when you open it up. They go from fore to aft and vice versa. So when you open it up, it's three times as large as it was when it was folded. It's very, very intuitive how they tuck in. Although you will open them in the wrong order about 1,000 times, because if you pull the top front arms open with the bottom arms closed, they kind of have an underbite. The drone gets an underbite. So the legs that are folded down now fold up and they kind of hold the arm together. So you can't open them backwards or you'll be like, oh crap, dude, I did it again. So I did it about 1,000 times. I flew it 70 missions. I put 2 hours and 50 minutes on the thing in the course of a week. And I eventually started answering the question, well, how good is the camera? With a drone this small, you don't need to care. It's a personal drone. It's never going to be a professional tool. But there's a line in photography circles that says the best camera in the world is the camera you have when you need one.
Yes.
And you can carry this thing in a lens pouch in your camera bag and be ready to fly anytime with minimal weight, minimal size. It'll fit in anyone's bag. It'll fit in a glove box of a car. It can fit in the map pocket behind your seat. You can have this thing ready to go. And then when there's something where you need a drone, you can pull it out. You can carry it up the back of a mountain in the back of your pack. It's like a couple pounds. It's not a Phantom or an Inspire sticking about both sides of your pack. Those things don't break down. So this is going to – I probably heard a dozen people, professional photographers, who picked this up and said, I don't know anything about drones. And 20 minutes later, they're like, I have to buy this. It's the barrier to entry is now lower. It's the new gateway drug to awesome. 2 years ago, I said the Phantom was the gateway drug to awesome. And this is, I've had people contact me going, what do you think? What do you think? I want to get a drone. I don't know anything about them. I want this. And I'm like, this is your drone, man. This is the one. This is so smart that you can have it do all the brains for you, but then you can start turning off those features and actually start flying a little more aggressively.
Parker, I think you mentioned that maybe this isn't the best professional drone. Is that true? And what's missing from it? What does it lack for that kind of a use case?
The first thing that someone who wants to get into aerial photography has to learn that is it's all about compromises. Larger cameras increase the size of the drone exponentially, right? So this has a very small looking camera. So the camera itself is probably all sensor on the module, but it's literally the size of the first knuckle of your pinky finger or the first knuckle of your ring finger. It's very small. It's not a very large camera at all. And it's on a tiny little gimbal and it isn't a large sensor. So you need 4K is 4K is 4K, but some cameras do that through pixel binning. They double the pixels that are being shot. Some of them do it by, other, chicanery and trickery. I have trouble believing that this is going to produce images as high a quality as a larger sensor. I mean, that's why we fly larger sensors. So 4K is the new baseline. I mean, it's the new, you can have any camera you want as long as it also shoots 4K. It takes pretty good photos. It doesn't take amazing photos. But if you want to be able to Now, okay, I say that it doesn't take great photos. It takes better photos than every other drone that's made this year. Okay, you know, we're so spoiled right now that we're counting color depth and bit rate and things like that. Louis C.K. said it best. I mean, it's going up to space. Give it a second, right? I mean, we are flying so much technology that you can sit in your hand that anything, you know, asking for more out of a Gen 1 folding drone the size of a paperback book, it's what we used to call measure baiting. You can always get a bigger camera, right? But if you concentrate on what you can already fly and you just concentrate on doing basic good work, this is much more camera than we had a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And we're spoiled. So shut up and fly. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Get the drone you can afford that fits your lifestyle for the way you think you'll use a drone. And the camera will be more than adequate for pretty much everybody's purposes, unless you're shooting a film. And even then you can probably get away with it as a C-cam.
All right. Well, thanks for the quick review, David. What do you think? It sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. He reminds me of what I used to say about computers. You buy the biggest computer you can afford at that time, and that will last you about 5 years, and then you'll go out and buy another one at the same thing. But it sounds like it's the next step, and DJI is ahead of the curve. I wonder what's going to come out a year from now.
Right. I mean, they need sensors in the back because there is the ability to turn this thing on so it follows you backwards as well, which means it's punching blind into something. I mean, eventually we're going to have a drone that's festooned in eyeballs so that it will keep itself in out of trouble and basically be able to navigate itself as it orbits. You know, the best bang for the buck for imaging right now, if you wanted to lift a good camera, is getting a Phantom 3 4K for $600. It's got the same sensor, the same specs as the Phantom 4. And you're paying $600 for it. So that said, if that fits your ability to carry a big case around in your car, or that you don't mind having, if you want to lift an imager and not a lot of money, a Phantom's still a great buy. But if you want to be able to pack this thing into your backpack and take it somewhere, you're not going to do that with a Phantom. Now you can do it with a drone that's really smart, really capable. This thing flies 7 kilometers away.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing.
Bonkers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bonkers.
You know, in fact, we had a listener, Joe, write into us, and he's looking for a drone. He likes the looks of the Mavic, but it's a little bit more than he can afford. He's kind of thinking in the $500 full-up price range. He's looking at things like the Unique Breeze and things like that. Any suggestions for Joe?
Can't speak to Unique. There are people that love them. Sally French immediately comes to mind. She's a big Unique fan. I've always thought they looked like plastic Klingon birds of prey, and they never got past that phase. I kind of bought into the ecosystem for Apple/DJI. I use those products. That said, the Autel X-Star Premium is a very good camera and a very capable drone for about $600 for the standard. And the premium has just got a different radio linking. So if you're planning on flying at relatively short range, like within 1,000 feet or 2,000 feet, I can't remember the exact range. It's more of a straight 900 megahertz link. No, it's a Wi-Fi link on the standard. It's about $600. An amazing camera. It takes an amazing still. Sensor benchmark better than the Phantom 4. There is a point where measuring this kind of stuff does matter. And aerial is the only time where megapixels matter. So bigger sensors give you more megapixels. That said, in small, portable, personal drone sizes like the Phantom or the Autel, the Unique stuff, you're going to get a pretty good camera. Also, the Phantom 3 Pro, the Phantom 3 4K is a really good purchase if you're just looking for a good imager for a good cost. It doesn't have an HDMI output, and I don't believe it uses HDMI cable into the transmitter, into your phone, so that you can use all the apps. I think it's a Wi-Fi link. So you're stepping into that next level by getting the Pro or the Phantom 4, something that really helps you as a pilot. But the Autel is a very good alternative. And you're not, if you don't want to join the DJI, if you don't want to get on the mothership and drink the Kool-Aid and all that, you know, say what you want. Like I said last time, say what you want about DJI being the evil empire, you know, being the dark side, but they make a hell of a Death Star.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
You know, this TIE fighter is pretty cool. I've been calling it the Switchblade. At one point, my wife's been calling it the Maverick. She can't remember the word Maverick. It's an unword, but you know, it sounds like a medicine. But there's a little girl who kept calling it the puppy.
Really?
And I couldn't figure out why. It's because it was following me around the field all day as we were doing demos. So she kept calling it the puppy. Can you fly the puppy? I'm like, sure. Oh, this? Sure. So why do you call it a puppy? Because it keeps following you.
Oh, that's like, wonderful.
It's genius. Yeah. So it's so smart as to almost be alive. Hmm. You know, any sufficient science, you know, magic is any science sufficiently too complicated for us to understand, right? So this thing feels like magic.
Brilliant.
I think it's the perfect, they're going to sell a billion of these things this year. They really are. It's the kind of thing that people look at and go, I don't want to get into drones because Phantoms are ugly and I don't, you know, they're too big. And then, but this I want. And it's so, I had probably 5 or 6 people who had never flown a drone before, but you mean people that like, so people from Getty and AP and UPI, people that really want to know what they're going to be deploying with their teams. And I said, you're going to give them all one of these. This is the equivalent of the New York Times giving every single one of its reporters an iPhone about 3 years ago. There's no excuse not to give one of these to every single reporter.
Yeah.
Because it's that capable, that easy to use, that transportable, that mobile.
Yeah. I think that's really huge. Yeah, the fact that you can take it with you so easily means that it's going to get used a lot more than if something is, you know, larger and unwieldy and you got to get a Pelican case for it.
Yes,
and all that
yes.
stuff. You know.
And you know, and we're going to have 3 years from now, the technology is going to be drone deconfliction. Hmm. Where you can have 5 people coming down the slopes with these things following them, and the drones are going to be able to see and avoid each other.
Yes, that's going to become necessary, I think.
Yeah, so yeah. Some sort of RFID or low-power ADS-B or Wi-Fi transmission of location datum, something like that where everyone's on a common like guard frequency for drones.
Yep.
That's got to happen because pretty soon we're going to have drones hitting each other, and that'll be what crosses. It'd be a bird strike, only it'd be with another UAV on an autonomous flight path being following somebody.
All right, Parker, people can find you at propheadsphoto.com. That's probably the best place if they want to find out more about you, I imagine, right?
Yes, propheadsphoto.com. I'm also on Instagram and Twitter. I don't use Twitter as much. It feels too much like just, hey, look at me, I'm talking about myself. But Instagram is where we put up the coolest stuff that we're doing, and then Facebook as well. And then on our website as well, if you need to contact us. But we'll fly for food.
Very good. All right. Thanks, Parker.
Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
Well, David, I'm really glad we were able to get Parker to come in and tell us about the new DJI Mavic drone. I love getting some firsthand experience and a report from Parker. That was really great.
Yeah. And thanks, Parker, for doing that. And it was nice to have some expertise, but, you know, it's not just somebody who's got a hold of their first drone. He's been flying a lot of them. So
a lot of experience.
There's a lot of experience there. So very, very good. And it sounds like for Christmas, everyone's going to no longer want a Phantom. They're going to want a Mavic.
Right.
Did I say that right? I keep wanting to say Maverick, but that's all years of me watching Top Gun. So we've got some other stories to go through. So I think we'll forge ahead. Our first story comes from NASDAQ.com. Verizon forges ahead with new LTE drone project.
So what we see here is Verizon Communications. They want to put 4G LTE capability on drones and then use its ThingSpace IoT platform for industrial surveillance missions and other applications.
This part of the Airborne LTE Operations, or the ALO initiative, they call it, they've been doing since 2014. And Max and I both sort of questioned at the beginning of the show if we had talked about Verizon. And we talked about Verizon using UAVs, using them as hotspots and having wires to use them as remote cell towers. This is a little different. This is getting involved with the actual outfitting of the drones and using their communication programs for, like they said, industrial surveillance, which sounds kind of clandestine, but it's more along the lines of, is your smokestack not falling apart and the bricks need to be replaced kind
right.
of thing.
Inspection surveys, things like that. For this project, Verizon brought in American Aerospace Technologies, Inc., that's AATI, and they've been conducting tests with a 17-foot wingspan UAS, as well as their 4G LTE network. So some very interesting stuff. This thing space is a, well, it includes an API for developers. They have a developer community at thingspace.verizon.com if you're interested in checking that out.
So our next story is kind of interesting because this is from vccircle.com. India sets up ATC towers and upgradation committee for UAVs. India is surging ahead and is starting to work on integrating their UAVs with their air traffic control system, which is, I don't know, is that putting the ox ahead of the cart or not, Max? What do you think?
Well, yeah, it's different. I think that the rules in India don't allow civil use of UAVs at this point. Yet at the same time, in the past year, they've had 5 near-miss incidents with commercial aircraft. So what they're looking at is putting together this committee, and it's a combination of government and civil representatives, and they want to determine the requirements, the infrastructure requirements for air traffic control towers and the technical requirements for the towers as well. So they're kind of doing this in advance of creating the rules, the regulations that would govern civil use. So yeah, it's interesting, David, because I think more often we see the opposite use, or the opposite sequence rather. First we see civil use and then the rules come along. So they're looking at it from a different perspective. So I think that makes sense.
Different ways. And India is very good for bureaucracy. So it sounds like they're starting to work on that early on. So let's talk more about integration and floods. Here in the United States, over the last couple of months, we've had a lot of flooding for various reasons. I know this because I keep having to do legal requirements in my day job in insurance about billing, et cetera, because of floods. So this was from the Houston Press. How drones can save flood control districts thousands of headaches. So in Texas, they have flood control districts to monitor their water. And when it does rain in Texas, they have channel systems and irrigation systems that tend to get flooded. So flood control workers are going to use drones to monitor the bayous, channels, and retention basins and canals that we don't normally associate with Texas, but when you've got a dry state like that, you have a lot of irrigation and water.
Yeah, and apparently it's done now through a combination of government workers and contractors doing all this inspection work. And it can be pretty extensive. For example, things as simple as getting the grass mowed properly. All that affects the way the water flows and erosion and those kinds of things. They also plant trees to help manage the soil and the water. And so they have to inspect the trees to make sure that they're healthy and growing properly and all of this kind of thing. Well, as you can imagine, with hundreds of miles of, as David mentions, the bayous and channels, it's quite a significant effort. So they're looking at using drones to replace some of this manpower, some of the time it takes to do all this inspection. They're engaged in a limited trial. They're using a drone to check right now for the mowing done by contractors. And they're working with an Austin, Texas drone company. It's called Hover Data, I think, because it's HUVRdata.com. From their website, Hover is a data analytics company that uses drones to inspect industrial assets and large acreage for precision agriculture. We see that they received their COA last year in 2015 for wind turbine inspections. And late last year, in August, actually, they received $2 million in funding from a group of angel investors. So it's kind of an interesting startup company in the, you know, in the drone sector here, one of many, many that we see cropping up all over.
And if anybody from Hover Data would like to come on the show, we'll be loved to have you on to talk about precision agriculture. And they're hiring, just so you know.
One thing, David, that I just can't let this go. The article in the Houston Press that you mentioned has got a photo associated with it, like they all do. And like many of them these days, the article photo shows a DJI Phantom. But it's the caption under the photo that I found really amusing. The caption reads, "Some drones look like tiny spaceships." I thought that was pretty good.
Well, okay. We've been doing this now for 3 years. I guess we've come a long way. It could be a lot worse.
Yes.
Okay. Like we've always said, when you say something on a podcast, it's forever. So how long before the Mavic replaces the Phantom as the drone that everybody uses in the media?
Yeah, there's probably a lag factor there, but it's interesting how these iconic images, and when it comes to drones, it's the Phantom. It's interesting how they get created, and yeah, we'll see if the Mavic ever knocks out the Phantom in the press as the icon.
The Phantom took out the Predator and Reaper.
Yeah, so it can happen.
All right, video of the week. I know we're running out of time, and this one comes from everybody's favorite drone mama.
The article in CNN is drone and social media make flood rescue happen in real time. This is kind of an amazing story. Do you want me to tell the story, David, or do you want to do that?
Oh, go right ahead. I can't. I'll be honest, I'm having trouble reading it, so go ahead.
Okay, so this is a story about the flood, the hurricane, and the flooding that resulted from it. And a gentleman, Chris Williams, and his dog were trapped for 14 hours in their attic because the floodwaters came and they couldn't get out. Now, he was up there and he had a cell phone, so he texted his parents, and his parents told his brother, who lives 1,300 miles away in Texas, that he was trapped in his house. Well, they tried to call the authorities so that they could get him rescued, but they couldn't reach the authorities. So while this was going on, another guy, Quavis Hart, sent his drone out to take a look at the flooding, and he posted some photos of the flooded area on Instagram. Now, the brother of the trapped man saw the photos and then kind of as a joke took one of them and texted it to his brother, the trapped brother, saying, "At least you're not this guy." Except that he was that guy. It was a photo of him in the house. So the brother of the trapped man eventually was able to get a hold of the drone operator on Twitter. They had some interaction, and the guy with the drone ends up using the drone, and this is a quote, "to attract the attention of FEMA, the search and rescue team," and they sent a boat and crew into the neighborhood, and the entire rescue is on video from the guy's drone. So here's an example of, you know, great social use for a drone, but sort of the sequence of events is kind of humorous.
Convoluted.
And the only part about this that I don't get is, how did the guy with the drone use his drone to attract the attention of FEMA? What did he buzz them or something? I don't know exactly how that worked, but great story. We'll have the video in the show notes. You can take a look at that. It's a lot of fun.
So we've got real quick listener feedback from Joe.
Except we did that one.
We did it. And hopefully you got your answer from Parker, because he would be better to answer it than we would. So I guess with that, Max, we need to wrap this up. It's nice to have you back home and recording, not on the road, so we didn't have to worry about that.
We want to thank you all for listening to the UAV Digest. So you can find us, as always, at theuavdigest.com. Show notes for this episode at theuavdigest.com/166.
And of course, you can find us on Twitter at UAV Digest. We'd like you to join our Slack listener team, which is theuavdigest.com/team, or you can just quickly send us an email to us at feedback@theuavdigest.com, and send us your stories in your listener mail, as well as video of the week. If it's something you shot, we'd love to see it. And of course, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/UAV Digest. please leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. You can purchase some swag at our Cafe Press store or become a patron of the show at patreon.com. And of course, all of those links, as well as our articles, are available in the show notes. So again, we'd like to thank Parker for being on the show. And I'll say, this is David. I can't wait to get off the computer because my eyes are killing me in Philadelphia.
In Max and Hartford.
Thanks for listening.